The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the great state of Indiana, I am Derek Gilbert.
That would make me Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Welcome to our humble bunker. Let's see. It's one day after the
State of the Union.
State of the Union address, and there were many things last. I watched it. You didn't. However, I did tape something, and I think it's important that you hear it. So go to the clip.
Oh, the clip. Yes, this is the
This is something important. Well, I'm sorry. What? You don't have it up?
Oh, no, it's ready.
President Obama last night. An important point that I think we all need to measure the man.
Abortions for all. Very well. No abortions for anyone. Abortions for some. Miniature American flags for others.
Yeah, I think he's found the
I think he's figured it out. Let's see. Let's give them what they want,
Yeah.
Which is exactly what he said last night. And, of course, that clip was from The Simpsons, one of our favorite shows, at least the early years of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
They've gotten really stupid lately. But Kang and Kodos, they had it. You give people what they want to hear, even if you don't intend to do it.
Mm-hmm. And that's...
He was telling the bankers everything they wanted to hear.
Well, that explains why the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed above 12,000 this afternoon, which is, gosh, how much of a jump was that today? Well, it peaked above 12,000. According to the news ticker I'm looking at right now, it actually closed at 11,985. So anyway, up a bit, but that's kind of a psychological milestone.
Well, at various points throughout the evening last night, he said he was going to give corporations a break on taxes. Then he said, nope, I'm going to cut their taxes. I'm going to do an end to the tax cut. Then I'm going to put more rules for corporations and banks. No, and then I'm going to let them have fewer rules for corporations and banks. But none of this is going to hurt you, the common man.
Yeah, so like you said, essentially telling everybody what they all wanted to hear.
And here's the other thing.
He took a page from Clinton.
He intentionally mixed up the you weren't allowed to sit, you know, on your side.
Mm-hmm.
They had to all mix up last night.
Yeah.
So when people stood up, it looked like the entire room was standing up.
That I read before the speech was a nod to another consequence of the shooting in Tucson. They want to show that the political rhetoric is not so heated in the United States Congress.
Was that why they were wearing the ribbons?
I don't know. That I don't know.
He didn't have a ribbon on.
Well,
everyone else seemed to be wearing ribbons, but he was not wearing a ribbon.
But, yeah, apparently they were sitting together to demonstrate that Republicans and Democrats, the farmer and the cowman, can be friends, can sit together without, you know,
not dogs and cats,
clubbing one another. But, you know, anyway, so the speech basically promised everything, promised lots and lots of new government initiatives, and then turned around and said, but we're going to control spending and rein in the deficit. We've seen this before. George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, you know, probably every president going all the way back to, FDR, and probably before. I mean, that's how you get elected when you're a politician. You tell people what they want to hear, and if you can convince enough of them that you're sincere, you know, like the old saying about sales, if you can fake sincerity, you've got it made. And the politicians who make it at that level are the ones who are really, really good at faking sincerity. That's what it boils down to.
By the way, the ribbons were indeed in honor of the Tucson shooting victims.
Okay.
Again, I'm pretty sure I don't remember that he had one on. In fact, I had a picture of him somewhere in some of my notes here, and he's wearing an American flag, though.
Hmm.
when she didn't used to want to do.
Yeah.
Well, I should look again to make sure it's not upside down.
He has really taken a tack toward the center, which is not surprising because the left-leaning rhetoric and policy initiatives of the first 2 years of his presidency got them spanked in the midterm election.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he is demonstrating to those who really put him in office, Wall Street, that he is still their man. That's why Bill Daley is the new chief of staff, the former regional vice president for J.P. Morgan Chase. He's going to play ball if that's what it takes to get him elected.
Well, he said something last night about the challenges that we're facing right now being our Sputnik moment. Well, first of all, the majority of the people who put him into office have never heard of Sputnik.
Uh-huh.
They may have learned about it in school, but quickly forgot it. They do well to know what the Challenger disaster was.
Well, even
and
more
that's
than,
relatively recent.
Well, sure. But even more than that, there was a headline. I didn't read the article yesterday, but a headline yesterday that a surprisingly large number of Americans cannot remember what year 9/11 took place.
Or what day it took place on.
Or who's buried in Grant's tomb.
I'm going here with this. And that is that he is trying to get the old establishment, and literally old.
Right. Okay.
He's going after people in my generation who do remember the Sputnik thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because to be honest, a lot of the people who are most energetic about his campaign, to them, the closest thing that they would have, I mean, what would be a Sputnik? It'd be the where were you when the iPad was introduced?
Well, it's not just something that's memorable. It's something that another country did that made us realize we were no longer number one.
I see. Okay. And why he's out there today in Wisconsin calling for a new
era of
competitiveness.
If you want to understand the Sputnik moment better, and you really don't know what I'm talking about, rent the movie The Right Stuff.
Mm.
You will understand it better. You'll see Jeff Goldblum running in and out of the Space Center. And I'm not even sure that it was NASA at the time, but running in and out of this boardroom, you know, flailing with some sort of news that he just came out of Russia about Cougar and or about a dog going up or the first satellite in space, Sputnik. The first artificial moon is what it was called at the
mm-hmm.
time.
Yeah. So one of the points that he's trying to drive home right now that we are we've fallen down on the job and lost. America has lost its lead as the world's innovator and the world's most technologically advanced.
Well, they have. But here's what's so funny is he talks about how we need to grab this moment and actually improve our infrastructure, which is aging faster than I am. And he talks about how he will do this without spending any money. And, of course, he talked about not wanting to increase the deficit. That,
uh-huh.
that he hit on that a number of times.
Uh-huh.
What he implied, and in, he even said, implication nothing, he even said, what was the word? It wasn't court, but anyway, it was go after private investors.
Mm-hmm.
Private investors.
Ah.
And he said, this has already begun in California. China
mm-hmm.
is building a high-speed rail, which was mentioned by Obama. High-speed rails, we got to have them. Monorail. China's building one in Russia. Yeah, may as well be in California right now. And if this private partnership
mm-hmm.
is nothing more than selling the United States.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. What was the highway that was going to go up right up the middle of the country?
The Trans-Texas Corridor.
Yes.
Which was
the Trans-Human Corridor. Oh, sorry.
Which was going to be used, was going to be built by what was the word I'm looking for? A partnership between an Australian
Sintra
firm.
Sintra and
McCary. From Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So a Spanish-Australian consortium, that was the word I was mm-hmm. looking for, which has partnered on a number of other projects. But and that's a really good point because that's something that we're going to see more of going forward as governments, state and local governments look for ways to balance their budgets, because as real estate values have shrunk back to where they frankly ought to be, governments that got used to the inflated real estate taxes that they were taking in during the late 90s, early 2000s are really in a crunch, because the spending, you know, as will happen with a government, you justify your phony baloney job by increasing spending. I mean, and on top of that, frankly, we voters will vote ourselves entitlements until there's nothing left in the treasury. But they're trying to find ways to balance the budget. And one of the options that governments are settling on is selling off public assets, selling off water treatment facilities and mm-hmm. distribution networks, highways. Here in Indiana, in fact, we've gotten a lot of money out of a long-term lease of the Indiana Toll Road to mm-hmm. a foreign consortium. And there are other states that are doing the same thing.
And there's an I-69 extension that probably will go all the way down to Texas.
Right.
And that is going to be one of the many transcontinental corridors
right.
that are planned.
Not necessarily a public-private partnership, though, but –
Actually, I think the 69 one is, isn't it?
Well, I don't.
We'll look
think
that up.
So we'll look that up. But there are others out there that have been planned like that, and the Trans-Texas Corridor definitely was, because it was going to be a toll road with the foreign investors operating and collecting the tolls. The Chicago Skyway—that's another example. City of Chicago taking out a long-term lease on that in exchange for a lump sum upfront payment, and California has been soliciting China's help for this high-speed rail for quite some time now, going back to last fall. Governor Schwarzenegger was talking about it then, and has awarded they've set aside about $8 billion for high-speed rail, part of our stimulus funds, part of the stimulus funds that were passed last year. Will the Chinese get the work, or will they get the ownership and operation rights? That I don't know, but like I said, I'm using this as sort of a segue into public-private partnerships as we watch for more public infrastructure to be sold off to private investors so that local governments and state governments and maybe even the federal government at some point can start balancing budgets again.
Well, that's so true. And that's something he talked about last night, you know, how he was going to put a freeze on spending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I laughed really hard.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the only way to do it. The only way to do it is to not spend money. And if you're going to build a high-speed rail system and not spend public funds to do it, it means you're going to let private investors do it. But that means then they've got to get something out of it. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. They want to get something back. So, the thing that is a little troublesome when you read the story is that you've got $8 billion in stimulus funds that could potentially go to foreign companies to build the domestic infrastructure. I mean, the whole point mm-hmm. was to put Americans to work, I thought, or at least keep the money in the country. So
here's
anyway.
Something you'll love, though, when we talk about, the current state of our economy here in the United States. There's a story out AP today. Italy confiscates 200 billion in euros in fake U.S. bonds. Italian authorities have confiscated yeah. $20 billion in, I don't know why it said euros, in counterfeit U.S. government bonds, theoretically could have defrauded financial institutions.
Well, yeah, apparently these are high-quality
bonds.
They're all
jumping on board to invest in the United States.
U.S. government bonds, I'd like to know what kind these are. I mean, these just fake U.S. Treasury bonds? U.S. Treasuries? I don't know.
But here's – well, that's a question.
$20 billion is not chump change.
No, it is not chump change. But my point is, even if you could get someone – well, the person selling the fake stuff may make money on the front end, but whoever buys them,
mm-hmm.
my understanding of a bond issue is that eventually someone has to pay off. In other words, if it's a U.S. bond,
right.
do we not have to pay the purchaser of the bond eventually because they have invested
that's right.
in the U.S.?
When the bond matures.
Well, that's assuming yeah. that we're still here.
Well, that's a good point. And this isn't the first time this has happened. There's a, you know, just to do a quick search for fake U.S. bonds, and I'm looking for the date that this particular story was.
Yeah, I think it previously happened too.
Well, yeah. Officials in the Philippines, and this was a story dated February 20th, but I can't find the year, so I don't know when this was done. But there were two trillion in counterfeit U.S. Federal Reserve bonds. So, and that was.
That's
again,
a lot.
Yeah, that was an ABC News. and was dated.
I think we talked about this some time ago.
Yeah. So this is not the first time. You know, I'm surprised. You do a search for the words fake U.S. bonds, and you get 1.4 million returns on Google.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, that really makes you wonder, how real is the economy? How real is the world economy then? I mean, if you're an investor who wants to put your money into something safe like U.S. Treasuries,
how real is anything?
And the thing about this $20 billion arrest is that the Carabinieri in Italy only made the arrest because they noticed a group of guys at a highway rest area, like a rest stop. You know, in the United States, we've got these little rest areas along the interstate highways where you can pull in and get a candy bar and a soda and, you know, use the facilities. And the Italian police noticed a group of men acting suspiciously, so they did a routine search of the vehicle and turned up a briefcase with 40 bonds, each with a face value of $500 million. It wasn't the result of some investigative casework by the Italian authorities or Interpol. They just happened to spot some guys taking a potty break that looked funny and stumbled onto $20 billion in high-quality counterfeit U.S. Treasury bonds.
So here's my question.
How many more of these are floating around?
Well, that's my question. I mean, if we get stories like that all over the place,
yes.
When it comes to time to pay the piper,
yes.
Pay the bond, will the United States say, nope, we have no record of those?
Yeah.
I think you got fake bonds there. Sorry.
That's a really good question. And again, you know, I'm looking here, you know, a story from June of 2009, Italy intercepts smugglers, $134 billion in fake bonds. BBC News, okay, this the $2 trillion that was found in the Philippines, that was from February 20th of 2001.
I remember that story.
So what is the deal with all of these fake U.S. treasuries floating around out there?
Is that the story where there were British agents who had the money for the fake bonds?
You know, I don't know. I'm going to have to do some research on this. I would like to know, however, how much is floating around out there when you can, you know, find all of these stories floating on the internet, $100 billion here, $20 billion there, found at a rest stop, a couple of trillion over here in the Philippines.
I don't know. Dog dug some up in the backyard. And
This is really curious. I'm wondering now how much, because the United States finances its debt.
Mm-hmm.
By issuing treasury bonds. Mm-hmm.
Just like cities do, municipal bonds.
That's right. The deficit, the United States federal deficit, is covered by people, sometimes like you and me, who buy bonds,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes by foreign investors. China owns lots and lots of U.S. treasuries.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've got a degree in econ, but I'm not smart enough to figure this out. What happens if it were suddenly to become common knowledge, and I've got to believe that traders who do this for a living are aware of this. What happens if confidence in U.S. treasuries is shattered because suddenly people realize, hey, there's trillions of phony bonds, trillions of dollars worth of phony bonds floating around out here. The one
he's got Bill Clinton's picture on the front.
It's got the Monopoly guy on the front. What is the – so that is an interesting story that I definitely need to do some research on that, because I've got to believe that there's more to this story. You know, a couple of yahoos who are so dumb that they get caught at a rest stop with $20 billion in fake bonds. There's got to be more out there, and authorities must be aware of it. Somebody, surely somewhere out there, has done some investigating on this and have posted something to the internet.
You'd think so, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, definitely got to check that out. There is a story that's been floating around the web, and I let's see if I can turn this up here quickly. I meant to talk about this the other night and did not remember to do so, and that is the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, has put out a request for bid to companies that make ready-to-eat, you know, meals ready-to-eat, mm-hmm. essentially. And they're – okay, I've got it up here. It's at FBO.gov, which stands for Fed Biz Ops, your portal to doing business with the United States government. FBO.gov, there's a solicitation for prepackaged commercial meals capable for immediate distribution to disaster survivors routinely. This particular inquiry would be in the event of a catastrophic disaster event within the New Madrid Fault System, which we talked about the other day, for a survivor population of 7 million to be utilized for the sustainment of life during a 10-day period of operations. Now, you go to the doom sites, and they're all asking whether the government knows something that New Madrid is about to blow. Personally, I'm glad to see that the Federal Emergency Management Agency is actually preparing to manage an emergency.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Look, that's their job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know FEMA takes a lot of heat, and we've talked about FEMA as well occasionally, but really took heat after Katrina.
Sure.
They were
so.
Blamed for not being ready, not mm-hmm. being prepared. And the truth is that they have tried, I think they've tried to improve upon that since then.
Right. And I used FEMA in my novel mm-hmm. as, you know, a sort of a shadow government mm-hmm. in the event of a catastrophe. And I believe that there's some evidence there that suggested it might be. But, you know, to take something like this and immediately begin spreading the meme mm-hmm. that the New Madrid fault is about ready to blow because the government wants to stock up on
Well, I'll tell you, the first time you have an emergency in your area, you understand what FEMA can do.
Right.
Yeah, I think that they probably... You know, there are a lot of questions hanging around FEMA. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. They may be the shadow government. But at the very least, if you have a major tornado or a flood or whatever, their trucks roll up, their helicopters come in, mm-hmm. and they actually do help.
Right, right. So anyway, the federal government looking to support a population of 7 million, and presumably that would be, you know, Memphis, St. Louis, and then everything in between, you know, Cape Girardeau mm-hmm. And, you know, communities there because the Midwest – well, the last time New Madrid went, there was hardly anybody there. You know, the tribes and a few early settlers. But
we had an earthquake in Indiana not that long ago.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
You just don't know.
Southeast Illinois, not too far north of Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when it goes now, St. Louis is built with a lot of brick, okay, because the clay in Missouri, it makes really good bricks.
Indiana one was in Indiana. Remember Kokomo?
Oh, that's right. I was thinking about the one from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you said Southeast Illinois, and I thought, what are you talking about? Kokomo!
No, I was thinking about the 2008 quake that we felt here.
You know, Kokomo.
That's the Kokomo.
Because they don't know the words.
derailed the high speed totally train of my thought. I've got a low speed train going today.
Moderate.
The Midwest now, or the bricks in St. Louis. The thing about brick is it makes a good building material, but it's not very flexible.
Oh, it's lousy.
So the old parts of Memphis and St. Louis would essentially be destroyed if the New Madrid mm-hmm. really shook big time.
If it shook big time, it would take down probably all, if not most, of the bridges. I mean, there are lots of bridges
across the Mississippi.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
four or five in St. Louis area.
They're building a new one now, and I understand that they are building it to withstand a major quake, which is good. I'm glad that they're thinking about that. So, but just bear in mind that the fact that the government is trying to prepare for the emergency doesn't mean that they expect one. Although seismologists have said that at some point, probably in the next 50 to 100 years, we're going to see something at New Madrid that will be disastrous. So,
well, Davos is meeting. Not Davros.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good because Davros is
would be
really
detonating
bad.
The reality bomb.
Yes. That's the World Economic Forum, which is where all of the bigwigs get together to plot out the economic future of the nation.
And decide
world,
how to make their
the
wigs even bigger.
Yes. apparently this year they're doing it. The bankers are feeling a little less guilty. They're not as nervous about how it might appear to be at the World Economic Forum at this very exclusive Swiss resort while the rest of the world is struggling to come out of economic crisis.
You want to hear something interesting?
Sure.
I went to the WEF website today and took a look at a PDF that they have there
uh-huh.
that essentially covers what they did last year and says, okay, this is where we're going to have to start this year, and also discusses the fact that they have online meetings all the time, with avatars like Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah.
They have 72 councils.
72?
Mm-hmm. They're broken up into 72 councils that meet throughout the year.
That's a very significant number.
I thought so.
Yeah. 72 is essentially for theological purposes, essentially
and
the same as 70.
And here's one of their little meeting rooms.
Oh, what? Huh?
If you look at it carefully, you'll see it's actually pentagram-shaped.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's a five-sided office there. That's really interesting.
Strange, eh?
Yeah. Well, and while that's going on...
I don't see Kool-Aid Man in there anywhere.
That's a reference to Second Life, which there are companies out there now. I don't know if you're familiar with Second Life, but it's a virtual reality where you can get in and just kind of move around your avatar. And there are companies out there that will actually set up meetings... Instead of using like GoToMeeting or GoToMyPC or whatever, you can do it in Second Life, and you get to pick and choose your own avatar. And I found a picture of one meeting where somebody apparently chose to attend as the Kool-Aid guy. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's very green, you know.
It is because... It
doesn't use up any electricity or anything.
Sure. You know, carbon footprint is really, really teeny.
Well, I suppose when you compare it to everybody jetting in, which is, of course,
what they did going to Davos. Right, yeah. And while that's going on, there's a press release announcing a Christian version of the World Economic Forum called the Kingdom Economic Yearly Summit, or KEYS. This is the fourth annual. Yes, guess where it's going to be held? It's going to be at the Heritage Center in Fort Mill, South Carolina, which is the home of Morningstar Ministries, Rick Joyner's group.
Okay.
Yeah. This year's theme is Mobilizing God's Marketplace Army.
Now, did you not tell me... That was it in your conversation with Sarah Leslie, or was it elsewhere that you said that they have what it boils down to is they have no problems with genetic manipulation in order to put together the army they need to take over?
The Joel's Army movement wing of Dominionism. There are some out there who believe that the goal of Christians is supposed to be the perfection of, is perfection. We are to perfect ourselves on earth as part of taking dominion of planet earth. And part of that, some teach, means overcoming death and using technology to do so if necessary, which, yeah. And
oh, this is chilling. And I have to tell you why. And I will be talking more about this, by the way, this summer at the big meeting in Branson, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
There are some who are doing research into the origin of sin in our genes.
Uh-huh.
If the end goal of some within the movement is to perfect mankind, could it be said that their goal may be to erase original sin through genetic manipulation?
That's very possible. And I'll tell you what, I interviewed Sarah Leslie last night. We'll run that Friday night during A View from the Bunker, 10 p.m. Eastern time at blogtalkradio.com/PID radio. She talked about one of the more influential members within this new apostolic community, Dominion Movement, Ralph Winter, who, as he was dying from cancer, was actively writing and working and researching and seeking ways, basically, to reverse the effects of sin. And apparently, and she said, now this is her interpretation, and I need to do more reading about this particular incident, but her interpretation of this was that he was determined to reverse the effect of sin because we know that death entered the world with sin, and that perhaps by reversing the effect of sin, original sin perhaps, that he might reverse the effects of his cancer. These people who believe themselves to be the chosen, the elect, those who will be the overcomers, who will be God's government on earth, will be Joel's army, will be Christ manifest on earth, the manifested sons of God.
Make that more clear for those who don't understand. They literally believe that Christ isn't coming back from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is already here within the body of believers.
Right.
And we will transform into Christ beings.
Yes, exactly. The many-membered man-child prophesied in Revelation.
The Borg.
Yeah, essentially. And it is creepy. But yes, this was something that Sarah talked about last night that I found very interesting and also disturbing, that technology may play a role in this, and this is just another point of convergence between the New Apostolic Reformation, the New Age movement, and the techno-gnostics who are trying to achieve the singularity through development of artificial intelligence. So, that'll be a really interesting and important conversation. I think it was last night, and I hope that...
Well, I know you were really excited after it was all finished, so if you make a date, listen to VFTB on Friday night.
Yep, and we will be back tomorrow, God willing. And until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone.